let's see. Yeah, there I am. Okay. What a wonderful day. Mother's Day 2016. This is the day all the restaurants do a lot of business. The day the phone calls are made all over the world and to different parts of the world. And we're going to talk about it. Enjoy it. Now, the thing I want to do is I want all the men. All the men. Now, we're going to stand and sing in just a little bit. Now, the first song we're going to sing is this morning. You know it. Oh, how I love Jesus. It's number 92. But I want you men to bring your hymn book with you. If you're a man, okay? If you're a man. Or one day you hope to be a man. Okay? I want you to just get out of your place whenever we stand up. I want you to bring your hymn book and just come right on. Just come right on. Now, if you're not a man, just stay down there and we're going to sing to you. But, all right. Now, we would like to have all the men come right on. It's okay. Yeah, come right on right now. All right. I guess we better start, Brother Mark. They're already on their way.
That's young men too. Young men too. 92, let's all stand together and sing.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Please feel free to join in with the men in the choir loft. There's room for everyone. Here we go on the second.
It tells me of a Savior's love who died.
Scripture reading and prayer.
If you have your bulletins, you can open those up or turn your Bibles to Proverbs 23. I know, it wasn't Proverbs 31. Don't rebel yet. Now the crowd looks a lot better than it did a minute ago. Man, great improvement. I don't know what happened, but man, it looks marked improvement. Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 26. If you'll read the things in bold. Guys, did you bring your bulletins? Or are the ladies on their own for this? They're on their own for this. All right, well, y'all, we're going to find out who the readers are. Maybe the same crowd we always have. I don't know. All right, let's read together then. I'll read the normal print. If you'll read the bold print, we'll walk through this. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him.
Thy father and thy mother shall be glad.
my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. How many times ladies that are out here saying, boy, I've tried to tell them, I've tried to tell them, I've tried to tell them. And oh, you've prayed and you've prayed and you've instructed. Stay with it. Stay with it. We're sure thankful for all the time that you've done. I'm going to ask Brother Hodges if he'll come to the pulpit. He's going to have to come to the pulpit in a moment anyway. And he's going to pray for us before the men's choir sings. It's not often we have him up here to pray for us, but I'm delighted and I sure appreciate his ministry and his friendship to me. Open us up in prayer this morning, if you will.
Our Father, we're grateful to you for the privilege of being in your house. We're thankful to you for friends and fellowship together, one with another, that we might come and open your word and hear what you have to say to us, sing praises to you, fellowship one with another. And Father, we're asking that your blessings rest upon our dear mothers today. Give them a special time. May they go away rejoicing in the Lord. We'll thank you for all that you do. We pray for those that are not able to be here today. Strengthen them and encourage them, and we'll thank you. For we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much. Now listen as the men sing a couple of favorites, and I know it'll be a blessing to your hearts. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Hodges, would you come, please, sir? We're going to sing a chorus of What a Day That'll Be, and then if you would sing the verses, if you'll sing the verses, we'll kind of open with the chorus, and then if you wouldn't mind, come and sing the verses for us, What a Day That Will Be.
What a day.
something about men singing, isn't it? I mean, we love to hear ladies sing, but when we hear men's voices lifted up praising the Lord, looking forward to that promised day. God bless you. Any others? Yeah.
All right. Before the men come down, we're going to sing the next song. If you would, please. Oh, Nancy, would you stand? Nancy Fleming. Nancy, would you stand? Would you get a camera on this young lady right over here? Would you get a camera? Turn around and look at a camera back over there somewhere. All right. Let's see if we can get something a little better on that. Now, do we have someone else we can bring into this picture a little bit here? And we all can see her and she can see them. Hello, Cassie. It's good to see you. Can you see your mom?
No, I can't.
You can't? Well, I'm sorry, but we can see you. And though this is your mom standing right over here, we want you to know that we all think of you as our daughter, too.
Thank you.
Are you doing well this midnight hour there in Papua New Guinea?
Yes, sir.
What time is it right now?
Almost a quarter after midnight.
Quarter after midnight. So it's tomorrow there already. Well, it's so good. Would you give us just a word about how things are going? And Nancy, you can be seated if you'd like. But we're just glad to have your daughter with us here on Mother's Day. And Cassie, if you would, just give us a word about how it's going in New Guinea and what your ministry has come to this point.
Learn from three different church planting teams in three different locations, from the highlands out to the islands where I've never been before. And the purpose of these trips is to get insights and ideas to bring to the table when I join a church planting team long term. At the end of July or the beginning of August, the plan is for me to go back to North Wagi, where I did bush orientation, as another step towards potentially joining the team there. Though I long to be settled, pray for me that I would make the Lord my dwelling place wherever I happen to be. And whether I end up joining the North Wagi team or not, I know that if God has founded a place for the waters, like he says in Psalm 104, then he's founded a place for me to serve him here as well. And until he reveals that to me, I'm learning a lot about waiting and trusting that God's working everything together for good in his own time.
Amen. Amen. We're thankful for you. Well, what I want you to do, I don't know whether you can hear the people applauding your conversation and what you've done or not. I don't know whether you can hear that or not, but we're proud of you. And I want you to take just a moment just to say a sentence of Happy Mother's Day to your mom, and then we'll disconnect.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Love you. Wish you were here. But I want to say hi to Dad, too. And I thank you both for not holding me back, for giving me back to the Lord and allowing him to pursue his calling on my life.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Cassie. Bye-bye. We love you. We're praying for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I found that very interesting, to where she did not say to her mom, "I wish I was there." She said, "I wish you were here." And I find that very interesting. But what a wonderful day we live in. What a wonderful day we live in. We could do that. We wanted to do that with someone today on this Mother's Day. And I said, let's give Cassie a try and see if this thing will hook up all the way to Papua New Guinea. And that is absolutely amazing. I believe the delay on that is not any worse than the major hookups of the national television networks whenever they do back and forth from other countries. I tell you, it's absolutely an amazing thing. Good job this morning, George Elliott Hodges. Appreciate you, my brother. Amen. All right. All right. Guys, wonderful job. What a good group of men. What a good group of men. And we're going to let Mark lead us in another song, and you'll be able to go back down and find your places as long as somebody hasn't come in and taken your place. Okay? Very good. Thank you.
4:30 this afternoon, we have choir practice. 4:30 this afternoon, we have choir practice. Page 571, Trust and Obey. 571, Trust and Obey. Let's stand together, please, if you will. 571, as the men come down.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, while the glory He sets on our way, what we do is good will. He abides with us still, and with all the will, trust and obey. Trust and
you can breathe a sigh of relief. You haven't stood that long in a while, have you? We're so thrilled to have every one of you here. And I know many of you, it might be the first time you've been here. Maybe Mom said, you're going to come to my church today. You came into town to see Mom, and you're here this morning for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time. Well, you are our special guest. We are thrilled to have you. And if you are a guest with us this morning, we want you to do something. We'd like for you to make sure you have one of our bulletins. And if you don't have one, go ahead and let the guys, the ushers, let them know now. They're going to grab some bulletins and be ready to give those out. So if you don't have a bulletin, this is anybody. You don't have to just be a guest for this. But if you don't have one of our bulletins, wave them down. Just put your hand in the air. They'll bring you one. And as you open that up on the far right side, when you open it up, there's a little flap. There's a place for you there to tear that off and fill that out. It says, welcome visitors. Just fill that out. And what we'd like you to do is drop it in the offering plate, okay? Just drop it in the offering plate and give us a record of your visit here. We'd like to have that if you'd honor us with that. Or instead of dropping it in the offering plate, okay, if you would, bring it with you after the service. And Mom can bring you. She knows where this is, or whoever it is that invited you. Or if you came on your own this morning, ask somebody. They'll let you know. But right out those back doors and to the right, we'd like you to bring that little slip with you to a guest reception area. We'd like to greet you, give you some refreshments. We have some things in there that you'll enjoy. It won't ruin lunch. You'll still be able to take Mom to lunch and eat all you need to. It won't ruin that or spoil your appetite. But we've also got some gifts for you, some gift cards to remember us by. And we would like a chance to get to know you a little bit. You could ask us questions, and we can find out a little bit more about you. We'd love that opportunity if you'd give us that opportunity. So if you can't stick around, Drop this in the offering plate when it comes by. But if you can, for just a few minutes, come to that guest reception area just in that room and to the right when you leave out those double doors back there. A few announcements. I want to make them quickly, but I want to be effective with them. So just pay attention to these, if you will. Super Seniors. Super Seniors, this Friday is the last Super Seniors until September. If you're going to take advantage of the Super Seniors, it's got to be this Friday, or you're going to have to wait out the hot months until they come back around. But they're going to have a special musical guest. The Puffers are going to be here to sing as soon as the luncheon is over. So be here in your place on Friday, and it's at 11 o'clock. It's at 11 o'clock, and it's a full concert they're going to do for you after the lunch. Brother Jim wanted me to make sure I really hammered that home. You want to be there. You're going to want to be a part of this and enjoy the time that they have. May the 22nd, graduation Sunday. If you have a graduating senior, high school, college, graduate degree, after college, and I don't have that information, and if, here's how you know I don't have that information. If you haven't sent it to me, I don't have it. Okay, so if you want your young person recognized that day, and we want to recognize them, we got a gift for each and every one. We want to recognize them on Graduate Sunday. Email that to me. My email address is on the bulletin. Send along whatever accolades that went with the degree they got, or the diploma, the school they went to. And also, send a picture along, if you will, please. I might have a picture somewhere of the young people, but it's going to be from camp, and they're going to have a weird-looking face, and you don't want that on the board here on Graduate Sunday. So send a picture along that I can put up on that day. It doesn't have to be cap and gown, maybe a senior picture, or just something that you'd like to put up there. So send that along as soon as you can, please. We're just a little bit away from Graduate Sunday. Israel brochures are available. The early bird discount for next February is coming due. Some of you have already taken advantage of that, but there's others down here that are available. Last thing. Our baccalaureate for University High School, okay? We're holding a baccalaureate service right here in the church building this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, okay? So if you have a young person graduating University High School, of course we'd like for you to have them here at 6:45 to walk. But those announcements are going out. We're trying to promote that among the young people. Of course, the high school this year is not allowed. Our wonderful free country has said that you can't hold the service anymore. So we're able to do that. And FCA, we're working through FCA to do this. And they're hosting, or we're hosting it, and they're putting it on. But one thing that we're doing is doing refreshments for them after the service is over. We're going to need some help with that. Jenny is going to be heading that up. And we need some help with that. I need you to come to me or to her to let us know that you'll be available to help out just with putting the things out there and then getting the things put up after it's over. It's light refreshments. It's not a big meal. And I don't really know the crowd to expect, but we're going to plan for a good number because we've had a good number and it's been a good ministry. Folks have turned out, and we'd like some help with that. If you'd be kind enough just to come, if you can set up tables, take down tables after it's over, put out food, so on and so forth. It is a great blessing to those people. They come out and enjoy that time a lot. They remember this church because of it. That's not our intent. Our intent is to be a blessing. But it's wonderful that they remember that we were trying to be a blessing to them. So if you have that opportunity to come and take part in that, we'd really appreciate your help. So let me know, or let Jenny know, so we've got, make sure we have your contact information and that you know the details about this Wednesday. Thank you.
All right. Do I get to qualify in that Graduate Sunday? I'm graduating tomorrow night.
I've already put your name
down. Oh, you've already put my name down. All right. I'm graduating tomorrow night from Crown College in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Just don't forget to send a picture.
Just don't forget to send a picture. Okay. Well, I haven't sent my information in either. But I'm very honored that Crown College is honoring me with an honorary doctorate tomorrow night at their graduation. And I'm very humbled and pleased that they've chosen to do that. And so I don't know anything else to say than they're going to tie another ribbon on a pig's tail, I guess is what it is. Okay. We come to this great and wonderful time when we recognize the ladies of our church. Now, as I said in the bulletin, it's Mother's Day, but here we call it Ladies' Day because there's a lot of ladies here who are not mothers, but they're wonderful ladies of our church who contribute greatly to our church. Now, there's a lot of ladies here who do not have children. They wish they did have children, perhaps. And there's a lot of ladies here who have children who maybe wish they didn't. But anyway, here's what we have for you. Now, I carry something like this in my suitcase when I travel, and I looked at this whenever we looked at it, and I thought that'd be a nice thing. And I looked at it again, and I said, no, I don't believe I'll carry that. But this is a little, you know, makeup bag, whatever like that. And we want every lady here today, 16 and over, every lady to have one of these. It says grace, it's the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. And so we want everyone, every one of you ladies here today, we thank you for coming, thank you for being here, and we want you to have that. Now, let me see if I can get this straight down to here. I thought, boy, who are we going to have for oldest mother this year? Because Mary's been out of town. But Mary is, you're 89 now, is that right? 99, okay. Now I'm going to take care of that. And so is there any mother here today over 99? All right. Okay. So Mary, I'm going to take care of that for you this year. I'm going to give you the oldest mother here. I'm going to give you that gift. Okay? That's going to be from me to you. Because my mama's not here anymore. And so I'll take care of that. But this is what we're going to do. And you'll be included in this. Okay? And Bobby, good to have you here with your mom. We've prayed so much for you. God bless you. Every mother here, 85 and over, would you stand? Every mother here, 85 years of age and over, would you stand? Wow. Stand up, Mary. Wow. Now, this will take just a minute. I don't think we anticipated there being that many of you. But we'll see how that goes. And we're over here to my right. We have two more over here. Neither of which I thought were over 85. But nevertheless, and Mark right down here, one more. And I think we've missed one right back here. Oh, okay. You got your card? Okay. All right. Very good. She's got her card. All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Okay. Don't make me have to come down there. Now we're going to do something kind of unique. We're looking for, well, I may know who this is now. In the choir, the oldest mother who sings in the choir. 85 years old. I know Beverly is here. Beverly, is it you? Any other choir member, mother in the choir, 85 or older? All right, you get that one too. Okay, very good. Now somebody's going to, Beverly Dickinson, God bless you. Somebody's going to have to get to figuring on this perhaps. Now this, where you were born, the mother who was born the farthest from Orange City, Florida. How many of you were born 1,000 miles or more from Orange City, Florida? Would you raise your hand? Oh, wow. Yeah. Boy, I'm glad we just didn't say 1,000 miles. Okay, let's take it down a little bit. Okay, mothers who were born 2,500 miles from Orange City. 2,500 miles from Orange City. I still see quite a few. All right. Mothers born, okay, 4,000 miles from Orange City. 4,000, yeah, I see back here. I've still got a bunch. Okay. All right, yeah. Okay. Let's make over 5,000. Raise your hand. Over 5,000. Okay, over 5,000. Oh, we're getting this trimmed down a little bit here now. Where in the world were you born, Sherry? You were born in France. Okay. Okay. And where were you born? Morocco, North Africa. Okay. And Italy, right, Janice? You were born in Italy. And, okay, right back here, Roxanne? Where? Where? Peru. 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 Is that Nancy? No, who is that? Layla. Colombia? South Carolina? Columbia, South Carolina. She's born in Romania. Okay, I'm looking at a couple over here. I'm looking at, where is this one? Korea? Puerto Rico. Okay, here? Jamaica. Panama. I know yours. Okay, I think I found one, though, right over here. From South Korea. South Korea, stand up. How many miles?
11,000.
11,000. That's a long walk. She married Don, came to America, and it was so far away she couldn't get back or she had gone. I tell you that. All right, South Korea. Okay, God bless you, Kim. That is good. I wondered about that. I knew we had someone from South Korea and someone from Japan, and I think Kai's not here today. But anyway, okay. All right, now this is interesting. This will take. Kai's here. Are you further than that? No? Okay, well, you can take it from her if you can. I'm sorry, I didn't see you, Kai. I didn't see you right now. Okay. Mothers have these with them, especially if they're of childbearing years. And if they have small children, they have these. I wonder if there's a lady here. Well, let's find the lady here who has the most pacifiers with you. Okay, dig around a little bit. See if you have any pacifiers in your purse or your bag. Dallas, you have a pacifier? What in the world? Mike? Where's Mike? Are you aware of this? First you had heard about it, huh? Okay. Anybody have any lady here have a pacifier? Well, Dallas does. Anybody else have a pacifier in your purse? Okay, right here. You have one or two? You have three. Okay. Is that Susan? Okay. Three. She has three pacifiers. Anybody? You have four? You have four pacifiers. Okay. All right. Anybody got four? Five. All right. Four it is. I thought two would win it. I thought two would win it hands down. I don't know that this is a good one. I argued against this, but I lost the argument, and I'll see if it's a good one or not. This will take a minute to figure out. And if you don't know how to figure it out, I don't know what to say. Except the woman, let's look at any lady here today. They don't have to have more contacts than I do they? We talked about that, something about that. Okay, I have 3,000 contacts in my phone, okay? But the woman here with the most contacts in your cell phone, the most contacts. And if you don't know how to figure that out, I don't know what to say. You can't scroll through and count them, okay? We don't have time to do that. If you know how to figure that, at the bottom of the list, there's a little number down there. After Z, there's a little number insignia. If you push that, it will show you how many contacts are in your phone. We'll give you a minute to figure that out. Okay? Now, we've got a bunch of these this year. Wow! Okay. The mother here with the most different prayer cards from missionaries in your purse. The woman with the most different prayer cards. Now, I figured that some mothers here may have their daughters on the son on the mission field, and they'd have 8 or 10 of theirs, but they have to be different ones. Different ones. If you want to look, you want to count, that'll be fine. We'll come back to that in just a minute, and we're going to ask this one right here. And I'm going back to two. I'm going back to the phones, and I'm going back to the prayer cards. But is there a mother here today that was born on her mother's birthday? Judith. All right. Judith Piercy was born on her mother's birthday. And what day was that? July 25th. And what year was it? None of my business. Huh? All right. Well, congratulations. Okay. Born on your mother's birthday. I hope it was a good birthday for her. I hope it, I was talking with a fellow the other day and told him happy birthday. He said, I haven't had my own birthday. It was Squire Parsons' older brother, Virgil. My friend, I said, happy birthday, Virgil. He said, well, thank you. He said, I've never had my own birthday since Squire was born. Because Squire was born on the same day that he was. So they share a birthday. And Squire says, I've never had my own birthday. What are you complaining about? That's great. Okay, that's a unique kind of thing. Okay, anybody got figured out how many? Anybody got 1,000 contacts? Any lady got 1,000 contacts? Any lady got 1,000 contacts in your phone? Who? How many you have? How many? 1,602. Anybody got over 1,602? You got it. All right. Okay, Hope. That's fantastic. Okay, now missionary prayer cards. Anybody have five? Anybody have five? Four. Joy has four. Anybody else have four or more? Okay, Joy, congratulations. Wonderful. Now we're going to do something that we do every year. And don't be embarrassed about this. Don't be hesitant about this. This is just something to say that as a church and as a staff, we appreciate. We appreciate mothers with children at home. Single moms. with children at home, trying to make it work in a very difficult time and in a very difficult day in which we live. So, fellows, if you'll help me here, if you're a single mom with children at home, single mom with children at home, living at home, would you just simply raise your hand and let us give you a gift card to say thank you and appreciate what you go through and the difficult time. God bless you, Kara, and others here. God bless you. And others, single mom, children at home, and we know it's difficult. Right over here. Wonderful. Wonderful. Difficult, difficult thing, but yeah. Okay, we're back. He's on his way over. He's on his way over. Yeah, all of you help right here. Layla, that's a new experience for you. But our prayers are with you and our prayers are for you. And God bless you. Well, we've taken a long time with this, but this is Mother's Day. And we're thankful. We're thankful so much for all of you being here. How many of you have children? How many mothers today have children here? Would you raise your hand? Stand up. If you're a mother and you have children here today. All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. And how many of you children have your mom here today? She stood up right now. Would you raise your hand? Your children here today, you have your mom here today. Well, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. It's a difficult day for some of us, but my mom's gone on now. How many of you have a mom that has passed away? Oh, my. Yeah. And I sent out on this thing called Twitter today. I said, I missed my mama today, but I'm thankful my kids still have their mama, because that means I still have Becky. And we're thankful for that. Well, what are we down to now?
Oh, yes,
I'm a child of the King. Let's stand together and sing. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. Shake hands and greet those around you and welcome one another. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Ushers, come forward if you will. We'll receive our offering today. Father, I thank you that for many years in this country we have recognized the importance of mothers, and we've set aside this day. And Father, as we come now, after having had a wonderful time of recognizing mothers and just try to make it a special day for them, we come now to worship you. Make it a special day for you as we give our offerings and say to you, we love you and we're thankful for you and all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Orchestra. What a blessing. Thank you so much. Get your Bibles ready in just a moment. Pastor is going to come with a message. And before he does, Voices of Victory are going to come and sing. And as they're coming, please remember to pray for a couple of our young people, the Taylor's grandfather, that Brandon and Savannah's grandfather, the pastor's Victory Baptist Church in Sanford, was rushed to the hospital this morning. And so they had to leave just a few moments ago. So pray for him, if you will. And they would be up here singing, but pray for them as they're in the hospital. Listen to the Voice of Victory. Sing a wonderful song.
Just before he went away into heaven, Jesus said that he'd return again someday. And he said, be faithful, watch, and be ready. The time when I shall take you away. And he said that in the house of the Father, he's preparing now a place for me and you. And he said that where he is, we'll be there for we'll be.
There will be no warning cry from the rooftops. No announcement in the papers will be made. No committee call to plan a special greeting. No red carpet at his feet will be laid.
In the wisdom of the Father is the secret. And at his appointed time the day will come. Only this I know is sure.
Thank you, young people. We say congratulations to George and Anna today on their 21st anniversary. Right over here. Wave at me. Okay, right over here. Amen. 21 years. Thank you. Thank you so very, very much. Congratulations. Well, on a day like this, it's very, very difficult to know where to go, whether to go a passage about mothers or an example of a mother from the Word of God. And having preached over these years in so many different places like that, I return again today. I don't know how long it's been since I visited 1 Samuel chapter 1. And the mother of Samuel, the mother of Samuel, the mother of Samuel is a dear lady named Hannah. Hannah. It's a joyful day we come to today, but there's also some things that cause the day to be less than joyful for some of us, and there are a number of things that cause that. Some of us, as I said before, our mothers have passed, and so we're reminded today of that and the fact that we miss them. Some mothers here today, and names come to my mind, some mothers here today, you have outlived your children. And that causes a sorrow in your heart. And some mothers here today that are separated from their children by distance. And some are separated by disagreements. And some are separated by offenses, and some are willing separations, and some are unwilling separations, and some are just difficult situations. Some children here today never knew their mother. There are children today who never knew their mother. And there are some ladies who have no children. And Hannah was one of those ladies who grieved to have children, but she had no children. And we're all have causes to rejoice on this day, but there's also difficult situations on this day. The mother of Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, I read one verse. And she vowed a vow. That literally means she promised a promise. She made a promise. She promised something. She promised a promise. And this was not to her husband. This was not to the pastor. This was not to anyone else. This was to God. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. Now that handmaid literally is a female slave. A female slave. Look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, if you know the Word of God, you understand the Nazarite vow. This was a vow, and she vowed that vow to God. It's described very particularly in the law what the Nazarite vow is. But I want us to take a few minutes today, and I'll try to, in spite of all the things that we've done today, I'll try to get you to the restaurants if you're going to go out to eat with your mom. I'll try to get you there before the Methodists, okay? Five traits of women of faith. Now, there's no doubt that Hannah was a woman of faith. And I give five traits from her life. Many things could be given. I give you five today. Number one, women of faith. Women of faith are exposed to real problems. Sometimes we think women we read about in the Bible just went through life. They never had a baby that cried all night. They never had difficult times physically. They never had a sickness. They didn't go through pain in childbirth and all this. No. Women of faith in the Bible, as women of faith today, are exposed to very real problems. Hannah, if she were seated here today at the time of the verse that I read, at the time of her life in the verse that I read, she would have sat here today grieving in her heart. She would have sat here hurting. She had an enemy. Now, the home was a less than ideal situation, and it was not a situation that God ordained. God nowhere told Elkanah, her husband, to have two wives. Now, some people think if something's recorded in the Bible, that means God approves it. No, it simply is recorded that Elkanah had two wives. It doesn't mean that God ordained it nor approved it. It simply means that that's what the situation was. Probably the situation was that he married Hannah and they did not have children. So he remarried. He married another woman, Peninnah. I get it right after a while. Peninnah. He married her and she had children. Oh, whenever she had children, just like Sarah and Hagar. Whenever Hagar had the child, she despised Sarah because then she made mockery of her because she did not have a child. And that thing turned all the way around, something that Sarah didn't intend to happen, something Abraham didn't intend to happen. And here it was with Elkanah. He did not intend it to be like this, but Peninnah despised Hannah because she did not have children. She mocked her and made fun of her and looked down on her. Now, that's a tough situation. That's a hard thing to go through. And you might say, well, this and this and this, and I do this and I do this and I do this. You say whatever you want to. It's not an easy situation. She considered it an affliction. And she said, remember mine affliction. Mine affliction. She said, I'm afflicted with this. And the other wife in the home emphasized the affliction. Especially in that day, because it was considered a man had to have male heirs. He had to have male heirs. And if a wife could not give him a son or could not give him children, and especially if she could not give him children, but if she could not give him a son, there was something had to be done about that. And she viewed her limitation and affliction as from God. She didn't blame herself. She didn't blame her husband. She didn't even blame the other woman. She viewed her affliction as from God. Now, that's important as you go in the story. It's important that you see how she viewed her affliction. She viewed her affliction as from God. It says the Lord hath closed her womb, and she did not have children. Now, her husband loved her, but he didn't really understand her. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Every wife has a husband that loves her, but does not really understand her. What was that guy found a bottle on the sand along the ocean, rubbed it, Jeannie comes out. Jeannie says, you have one wish. I'm worn out. Many people have found me. I've been rubbed to death. One wish. What is it? He said, I want to go to Hawaii, but I'm scared to fly, and I don't like to be on the water. I want to drive. So what I'd like you to do is build me a bridge so I can drive to Hawaii. The genie said, do you have any idea what that involves? How deep the Pacific is, the pilings that have to go down, and the concrete and the labor. Do you have any idea what that involves? And he said, I tell you what, you need to make another wish. He said, okay. He said, my wife, I love her. She's sweet and kind and loving and precious. But, you know, there's just times she cries, and I don't understand why. And there's times she's in a good mood, and I don't understand why. Times she's in a bad mood, and I said, I'd like to be able to understand my wife. Jeannie said, do you want that bridge 2-lane or 4-lane? And so here they are, they're sitting, and they're sitting, may I say it like this, they're sitting at church. And Penina is there with her children. And Elkanah has served them. And Hannah is there alone. And he gives her twice what he gave any one of them. He gives her a double portion. And she's not hungry. She's not going to eat. And he says to her, he says, why weepest thou in verse 8? Why weepest thou? Why? Well, why? I don't know why. And then he finds out he does know why. And he said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? And you may be better than 10 sons, but you're not a son. Okay? What I'm wanting is a son. And it doesn't really help her situation, because she gets up and leaves whenever he comes on with this. Am I not better than you? I'm so wonderful to you, and I'm so good to you, and I'm so good for you, and am I not better to you? What could be better for you than me? It's typical man. Typical man. And so she faces a real problem. Now, she's wonderful. Woman of faith. But she faces a real problem. Women of faith face very real problems. They're exposed to very real problems. This one is given here, but that's not the only area of problems in her life. She had other problems too, obviously, just like you do. She had other areas of problems. Now, women of faith not only are exposed to very real problems, but women of faith express vibrant prayers. May I say it like this? Women of faith can get their prayers answered. Women of faith get their prayers answered. I want you to notice what happens down in verses 9 through 18, all the way down through there. First of all, I want you to see this. Just because she was in a hard situation that she viewed as coming from God, she did not give up on God. Some people, men and women, boys and girls, whenever they face a hard situation, they just give up on God. They say, God doesn't care. God doesn't have anything to do with me. God's not coming through for me. And it's always about God doing for me. God doing for me. But she didn't give up on God. David said in Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good that I have been afflicted. Wow. Now, the affliction wasn't particularly good, but he said, it's good for me. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Here on Thursday night, we've been looking at crowns. Crowns that God gives for Christians. The rewards after this life, whenever we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. The rewards or the crowns for Christians. We looked at the crown of life. He said to the people at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And he says in the book of James chapter 1 about the matter of testing. When you endure testing, there's the crown of life. Faithful unto death. Faithful unto death. Finish well. Finish well. Don't quit on God. Go through the tests. Because the tests come in your life. And the trial of your faith or the testing of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. We don't think of gold as perishing. But the testing of your faith is much better than gold. Now, this is in a spiritual economy and speaking from God's point of view. And our viewpoint ought to be God's point of view. Knowing that you're going to go through this for the glory of God, don't quit on God. And if you have, get back to that point and say, God, I'm sorry. I did not let my affliction drive me to you. I allowed it to drive me from you. And confess that openly and come back to God, because that's what her affliction did. She not only did not quit on God, it drove her to God. And in verse 10, I read verse 11, but in verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now, she's in a hard place. She's in a difficult time in her life. But it drove her to God. It moved her in a Godward direction. It did not move her away from God. She did not say, why me? Why has this happened to me? Why am I subjected to this all the time? And this woman with her kids here. I know my husband loved me, but look at all this. Look what's going on. She did not do that. She allowed her affliction to drive her to God. She vowed a vow. It's like she increased her dedication to God. She increased her commitment to God. In her affliction, she did that. And I want you to notice this also. If you look in verses 13 and 14, you'll see that her desperation is misunderstood. Ever been misunderstood? Well, certainly you have. It's one thing to be in desperation. It's another thing to express that desperation to God. And then whenever somebody sees that taking place, they question you. And they question about what's the real motive in your life and what's really going on in your life. That's a difficult thing to endure. And here she is. She's in the house of God, and she's praying. And she's not even praying vocally. There's not words coming out of her mouth, but her lips are moving. and she's in sorrow of heart and desperation and bitterness of soul. She's hurting, and she's crying, and she's speaking words with no sound coming from her mouth. And Eli, the preacher, comes by and says, "What are you doing coming up here to worship God drunk?" Now, most of us, if somebody makes some charge like that against us, we're going to make some kind of charge back. "Oh man, who do you think you are judging me?" She didn't do that. She didn't do that. She said, "Oh, you don't understand. Your handmaiden is a desperate woman. And I'm asking God for something. And my heart is pouring out to God." And he changes. And he says in verse 17, "Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition which thou hast asked of him.'" He said, "God bless you. I join my prayer with you. I ask God to grant you your petition that you are asking of him at this time." Now I want you to notice immediately, everything about her changes. Her countenance changes. Her attitude changes. Everything about her changes in verse 18. She said, "Let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight." She said, "Amen, let it be so." So the woman went her way. She did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now, has she had a baby? No. Is she pregnant? No. But her whole attitude has changed because she knows she has touched the throne of God. And in faith, she gets up, she wipes her tears, she puts a smile on her face, and she says, "Let's eat. Let's eat." What a marvelous thing. So, women of faith are exposed to real problems and they express vibrant prayers. Number three, women of faith experience God's provision. Now, what a happy trip it was home. Now, they lived about 20 miles away, and many of you live further than that from here. But about 20 miles away, whenever you're riding a donkey, is a little bit of a trip. And it's not a real comfortable trip, but it certainly was a good trip home. She was just happy. She was almost, can I say it like this? I don't know, but from the way it sounds in the Word of God, they get up at verse 19, they rose in the morning, they worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And I can imagine over 20 miles walking, riding the donkey and walking or whatever like that, you've got a little bit of time together. I mean, the traffic's not too bad, and you can focus on each other and all that kind of thing. And they're going home, and her whole attitude is different. And Elkanah has to say, "What's with you, Hannah?" Now, may I just surmise? Elkanah, her husband, says, "Hannah, what's with you?" And she says, "I'm going to have a baby boy." "Do what?" "I'm going to have a baby boy." He said, what is going on? Kind of like Mike sitting over here whenever Dallas holds up a pacifier. Sorry about that. It just seemed appropriate at the time. And she must have told him the story. She says, "You're not going to believe this. She said, you know how I was whenever we were eating night before last. And I just was so depressed and down. And she said, you know, I got up and like, yeah, he said, I know you got up. Remember, I told you I'm better to you than 10 sons would be. You got up and left. I know that very well. I remember that. She said, well, I went and prayed. And as I was praying, Eli came by, and she may have told him about the story. I don't know what she told him, I don't know what she didn't tell him. And he told me, be it unto thee as thou hast petitioned God. And she said, God gave me peace about that. And I've just been happy ever since, because I'm going to have a baby boy. He said, really? She says, yeah, I vowed to God that if he'd give me a baby boy, that I would give him back to God. That I would give him back to the Lord. I would give him to serve God. I would give him to the worship of God in the temple. Now, of course, it was the tabernacle then, but it was the temple of God for them. And she said, God's going to do that. And now this is a vow. Understand vows by ladies in the Old Testament. If a woman made a vow and her husband heard about it, he could say, no, you're not going to do that. And it canceled the vow. Or her father, if she were still at home, could say, no, you're not going to do that. But he didn't say that. Now, you understand a father? You understand a father? And I've always wondered, why would a father agree to let his son, as soon as he was weaned, be taken to the tabernacle, to Eli, of all people, I don't have time to deal with it, but of all people, Eli, who had done such a lousy job raising his own kids, how would a father agree? It has to be that Elkanah did not believe what she believed. He said, all right, okay. We'll see how that works out. Okay, that'll be fine. And he agreed to that. And lo and behold, before next year, when it's time to go back and offer sacrifice at the tabernacle, she's already had a baby. And guess what gender it was? It was a boy. Her faith was rewarded. God provides for women of faith. Women of faith experience God's provision. Number four, women of faith excel at keeping their promises. She says, as soon as my child is weaned, I'm going to bring him to the tabernacle and give him to Eli to worship God here. Now, this is an interesting thing. I don't know about you, but I can imagine that Hannah may have taken a little longer than normal to wean that child. That would just be normal, I would think. Because here she is. She has not been a mother. Now she is a mother, and she has this little one. But it does not seem she ever begrudged her vow. It does not seem that she ever questioned whether or not she was going to take that baby to serve in the worship of God. Because every time she called his name, she was reminded of why she had him. Samuel. Ask of God is what his name means. He was asked of God. Whenever he was born, she recognized that he was from the Lord and that he belonged to God. It's one thing to dedicate your kids to God. It's another thing just to plain out give that kid to God. It's one thing when your baby is little, Nancy, to dedicate that little girl, your firstborn, to to God. It's another thing to go out to the airport and say bye to her on the way to New Guinea. Every time she called his name, Samuel, ask of the Lord. The child was young. If you look in verse 24, chapter 1, 1 Samuel. The child was young. She had weaned him. She took him up with her and three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. You know, you may question that, but that was her commitment and that was what she did. She did. Women of faith keep their promises. They excel at keeping their promises. I want you to look. She has taken the time. She has not gone back to the temple of God. She has not gone back since he was born. Okay? The last time she was there was when she made the commitment to God. This is the first time she has gone back. And as she goes back, he's a little boy. He's a kid. A little kid. And she takes him, and she takes him to Eli. And she said, Eli, however many years ago, 4 years ago, I don't know, somewhere like that, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I stood out here and my heart was sore and I prayed. Now, whether you remember it or not, but you thought I was drunk. And I told you my heart was broken because of a situation in my life. And you said, God bless you and God grant you your petition. And you didn't know it then. But what I said was my petition was that God would give me a son. And I promised to God that if he gave me a son, I would give him back to God and I would give him to serve God. And I have had this son. This is the son I have had. His name is Samuel. And I bring him now to you to serve in this place under your leadership. I give him to serve God in this place. I want you to look in verse 28. Now he's a kid. He's a little kid. But look in verse 28. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. And look at the last phrase. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now, whether it speaks to your heart or not, but here's a kid. A kid who knows how to worship the Lord. She's taught him well. She's taught him how to worship. And as a little kid, he worships the Lord. Some of us think that certain kids are too young to worship, too young to know the Lord, and too young to follow the Lord, and so forth like that. And we set an arbitrary age and so forth like that. But it does not seem so with Hannah. Hannah taught her little one how to worship God. And as a young child, he worshiped the Lord and he served the Lord there in the tabernacle. And we read on about that in the tabernacle. Now, not only are they exposed to real problems, and not only are they expressing vibrant prayers and experiencing God's provision, not only do they excel at keeping their promise, but in chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, I want you to notice this, and I don't really understand this, but here it is. Women of faith explode with praise. You've got to feel of all the sad days of her life, this had to be the saddest day of her life. She's going to leave her baby. her only baby. She's going to leave her baby with a man who is, per every indication, undisciplined. He hasn't disciplined his own boys, and his boys are there and part of the temple worship. They're a couple of hypocrites. They're absolutely ridiculous. They take advantage of their father's position. They take advantage of their father's relationship with God, and they try to ride in on their daddy's coattails. And she's going to leave her son to be raised in that situation. But that's the commitment she's gave. And she left him there, and Hannah prayed. Now she prays again. This is a little different prayer this time. This is not a quiet prayer. This is not a lips-moving kind of prayer. This is a vocal kind of prayer. Hannah prays and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn," or "my power, is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." You know who that was? That was that other woman. "Over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord." Oh, what kind of a God would make me do this? I know I said I would do it, but I know you're so hard. I don't know why I have to. No, no, that's not what she said. "There is none as holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more of exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they are stumbled, that stumbled are girded with strength. Those that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and those that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble." You know who this prayer is directed at. It's at that other woman. Because God has given her blessing upon blessing, and she counts it a joy to be able to fulfill her promise to God. Get your hymn book, if you would, please. Just as you open it. As you open it to 581, I want you to understand women of faith. They don't make a commitment of God to get God to do something and then back out on it or forget about it. They excel at keeping their promise because their faith has been rewarded, and they're going to continue to live in faith. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just in simple faith to plunge it neath the healing, cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him, or, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." You have your book open, let's stand. And let's have the instrumentalists come. And I want us to sing that first verse. There may be some here this morning who have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You do not know that if you were to die right now that you'd go to heaven. You don't know that. Because you've never really come to faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, you believe there is a Christ. You believe there is a God. But you've never really trusted Him. You've never really committed your soul to Him. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. If you'd come today, you would experience that as you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Well, that doesn't mean whenever I say if you would come today. If you would come down here to the front and let us open the Bible with you and show you how to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. There may be some here today who need to come unite in fellowship with this church. That's great. Good. We'd love to have you. Any of the ways we receive members. Everybody needs three homes. You need a home to go to. Kick your shoes off, place to lay down, go to sleep. Need an earthly home. Everybody needs a heavenly home. Everybody needs a church home too. And if the home place is the place for you, we'd invite you to come. Maybe somebody here has trusted Christ your Savior and need to receive believer's baptism. I encourage you today to come on. Come on down here. See, whenever you walk down here, it gives us an opportunity to deal with you rather than coming back where you are because we can't pick you out. Okay? That's the way you identify yourself and lets us help you. 'Tis so sweet. Give us the chord, if you will. Sing it with me. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just in sin upon His promise. Thus saith the Lord. Introduce a young man to you. I'm going to let you be seated. This is Grayson Barker. I'll wait and see Grayson or not, but let me see where we can move right here. There he is. No, you don't want me. They don't want to see me. There he is. All right, which way do we look? This way. Is it that one over there? You see that camera up there? All right, look right there. All right, there you go. Grayson, now I want you to look at me just a minute, okay? How old are you, Grayson?
Six.
6 years old. Kim? Is he weaned? Can you imagine leaving this kid with me? I can't either, quite frankly. But can you imagine? Can you imagine that? But it'd be about like that. Okay, Grayson. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you?
Yes, sir.
Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm happy for that. I'm so glad for that. That's a good thing. You know that, don't you? Do you know what that means about where you're going when you die?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
Heaven.
Amen. Yes, it does. That's exactly right. Now, do you understand that after you're saved, that it's a good thing to get baptized?
Mm-hmm.
Baptized is a picture. Baptism is a picture of Jesus dying for you and Him being raised for you. Do you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone here who could withhold baptism from such a one as this who has received Christ even as we have received Christ? If you rejoice in that, would you let Him know it by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's okay. You know we're going to sing to you? You know what we're going to sing? What are we going to sing?
Happy birthday.
No, we're not going to sing happy birthday. happy birthday. Today is your birthday? Oh, I had no idea. Then we will sing happy birthday, all right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Grayson. Happy birthday to you. But we're going to sing another song to you. We're going to sing Welcome to the Family. Now, see, you're in this family right here. But this whole bunch of folks now is your family because you've been born into our family. So we say, welcome to the family, my friend.
Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers. We're your sisters.
You got a bunch of them.
Welcome to this family of God.
And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to be baptized today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you give me your hand? Can you pull me up? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Y'all can go on right now if you'd like. And we'll baptize them. I hope you'll stay around for that. And we still got a little bit of time before the others get out. And what do we have? Okay. I'm going to go get ready to baptize.
I'd like to alert our ushers, if you will, to be at the exits and probably need to have two or three ushers over here at this exit. So if we can have some men over here, two or three, one will not be enough for the flood of folks exiting there. So some guys, if you'll go back there and help, thank you so very much. On the way out, ladies, we have those cosmetic gift bags, essential bags, whatever you want to call them, and I hope that that'll be a blessing to you. And so make sure and get those on the way out. Choir and orchestra, 4:30. Practice 4:30. If you're not singing in the choir, you had a good warm-up, gentlemen. You did, and you did well. And I invite you to come and practice with us, ladies, as well, young people. And 4:30 this evening, be in your place. Don't forget about the Graduate Sunday. Get the graduate information to Brother Aaron, if you will, please. And this coming Sunday, next Sunday, on the 15th, next Sunday, is Scribe Day, and we will be presenting an opportunity for us to get the gospel out in a very unique, special way we have never done this at VCBC, and some other folks have done it in other places, but never have we done it here. And we're going to do it on August 27th, and we'll be explaining that this coming Sunday morning. And Brother Paul Pitts will be here. We're calling that Scribe Day. And that will introduce what we're doing in August on the 27th. So big days ahead. God bless you. Make sure and be in your place. And don't anyone move. We've got a wonderful baptism to go.
All right. It'll be a little bit, but it didn't take the little boys long to get dressed. Okay. They can handle that very quickly. Next Sunday, we will be voting on a position of co-pastor. And we'll have an opportunity to do that. So, well, here he comes. All right, Grayson, come right on, my friend. Okay. Take your time. Let me help you. Right around on this side. Come right on over here. I believe that's deep enough for you to swim in, isn't it? I tell you what I'm going to do. They all want to see you better than they're seeing you now. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand you up on that thing. Okay? All right, I'm going to baptize you from there. I'm happy for you. This is a wonderful thing. Grayson, upon the profession of your faith in Christ, that means because you have told all of us that you're trusting Jesus as your Savior. And, number two, in obedience to God. What we're doing is not just something we do because we're a Baptist church. We're obeying God. Okay? In obedience to God and God's command. I now baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Put your hands over your nose and mouth. Okay, like that, both of them. Buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Okay. All right, let's stand together. And I want you to shake hands with those around you. And don't forget. Call your mama, okay? If you can do that, enjoy it. All right, God bless you. Tonight I want to give you about 8 things that will help the Christian home. Okay, that'll be good. I hope you'll be here tonight. Thank you so very much for joining with us today on the live stream here from the home place. I hope it was a blessing to you. And if you're one of the many who are mothers that listen today, I want to say to you very personally, Happy Mother's Day. I trust it's a good day, and I trust that God will bless you. And I trust you get phone calls and flowers and candy and all those things. But if you don't, it'll be all right, too. I try to remember those things, but sometimes I don't do too good at it. But I did remember last night. I had to go out, but I went out and got Becky some flowers, and I got a card, which to this point I've forgotten to give to her. But I'll remember it this afternoon, and so I hope that you'll join us again tonight. And I have some things to share with you about the home that may be a blessing to you. And if it's not a blessing to your home, maybe you could use it to be a blessing to someone else's home. What a precious service we've had here. I trust you've been blessed by it and that you'll join us again tonight. And if not, be with us Thursday night or be with us on next Sunday. Thank you so much. God bless you.